Dr. Lloyd, good morning.
Good to be here, Nathaniel.
Thank you so much for joining me.
You're most welcome.
So, Lloyd, how exactly has Trump's presidency affected the way that politics has been taught?
Well, I don't think it's so much affected the way politics has been taught in the sense that, you know, I've kind of upended my teaching methods. Lectures, tutorials, use of audio visual material, and the media and so on and so forth, all of that has sort of remained a bit of a constant. I guess what has changed, though, is the kind of level of engagement, interest, commitment, passion, emotion that students kind of bring to the topic. Certainly, you know, for me teaching, I guess it would have been more straightforward if Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, in the sense that a lot of the lectures and so forth could have, you know, the core of them could have remained the same. But with Donald Trump being elected, that really disrupted American politics, and hence, you know, I don't think there was a lecture that went by that I didn't have to rewrite, because clearly the circumstance of American politics were different. There were, you know, different issues at hand that had to be dealt with, and the students' own kind of, you know, interests had changed.
Well, why do you think students in Australia have such a keen interest on, well, what's happening in US politics?
Well, I think it is because the United States as a country looms so large in what happens in global affairs. So, you know, the old adage about when the United States sneezes, Australia gets a cold. For a long time now, Australian media, Australian entertainment, Australian popular culture, etc., has been, you know, very much influenced by the United States. You could probably go right back to the 1940s, perhaps even the 1930s, and that would be true. And I think over time, it's only become more so, and that kind of influence has deepened, and consequently, students, many of whom have, of course, travelled to the United States as well, and have a really kind of deep fascination for what happens in the United States in general and what happens in American politics in particular.
And the internet's so saturated with US anyway, so you can't really escape it, can you?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the kind of resources for knowing what's going on in the United States has never been greater, which has its advantages. It also has its drawbacks, of course, because there's so much that is available on the internet, which is, to use a term, fake news, yeah. if you know what I mean. Yeah, you know, those social media resources and the internet and so forth have really been a boon for not just students, but anyone in Australia trying to find out what is going on and understand what's happening in the United States.
Do you think this interest in US politics is translating over to interest in Australian politics as well?
Perhaps. I mean, I teach Australian politics as well, and I've got to say, you know, in terms of the sort of levels of enthusiasm and energy, certainly my US politics students are probably more engaged than my Australian politics students. But at the same time, you know, some at least of what is happening in the United States is resonating in Australia as well, particularly the kind of emergence in the popular imagination of the kind of right-wing populism that we've, you know, just seen with the Fraser Anning thing and the Melbourne demonstrations on the weekend. So I think, you know, in that sense, there are certain parallels, and students are interested in those parallels. You know, is what is happening in the United States, is that going to happen in Australia some years down the track? I mean, personally, I think often, you know, what similarities there are often sort of hugely overblown, because the United States, different political culture, different set of institutions, different media markets, so a very different kind of political ecology, if you like.
And even the way our governments are set up is very different as well.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Australia, of course, we're a federal system like the United States is, but many of our political traditions and institutions are derived from Westminster, of course. We have a parliamentary system. So there are, you know, very significant and relevant differences that sometimes, you know, students tend to gloss over because they sort of project their own experience onto the United States.
Yeah. If you're just joining us here on The Daily this morning, we're chatting with Dr. Lloyd Cox, lecturer in Macquarie University's Department of Politics and International Relations, about how the Trump presidency has made teaching politics great again. Oh, always cringe whenever I say that. I keep saying though, I think.
Well, I don't think it's made it great again. You know, the teaching of US politics, it goes up and down and in waves. And I mean, I've been teaching domestic US politics, I think, since 2007 or thereabouts. And certainly in 2008 with Barack Obama, there was a great deal of interest in US politics in Australia and amongst Australian students. And in fact, my US politics classes were larger at that time than they are now. But, you know, Barack Obama, first African-American president, a charismatic figure. And I guess like all charismatic figures, once engaged in the sort of hard slog of governing, that kind of charisma sort of wore off to an extent. So through the middle years of the Obama presidency, there perhaps wasn't the same level of engagement and interest and enthusiasm from Australian students than there had been in, say, 2008 and 2009 when he first came to the presidency. But I don't suspect that there'll be a waning of interest with Donald Trump, because it seems, you know, every morning one gets up, reads the news, and there's some new kind of dramatic development in American politics.
Every day it is. Pretty much every network in the U.S. is airing that speech about he's going to be doing about the border wall. I think it's on U.S. Tuesday.
That's
afternoon.
Right. All of the main. It's actually on at 1 o'clock p.m. Australian time. It's coming up in a couple of hours. But the three big networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, have all set aside 8 minutes for Donald Trump to put forward his case that there's a national emergency and crisis at the border, and that this, you know, trying to either justify his unilateral action and taking action himself, or putting further pressure on Democratic congressional figures to pass the appropriation bills to build the wall.
Well, in such an unpredictable political climate, I assume that roles in the classroom get reversed too. Like, what insight have your students offered that might have surprised you?
Thinking straight off my head is difficult to come up with answers for that. But I certainly know that teaching material about religion in US politics, for example, I'm not a religious person, but some of my students are, and they have a much better kind of knowledge and a much better informed, particularly evangelical students, for example. So you know, what appears from a distance to me to be very alien in terms of evangelical Christianity and its influence on the US political system, I think sometimes hearing my students talk and the zeal with which they talk, I perhaps, while not agreeing with them, have a better appreciation of the ways in which political emotions express themselves in US politics and patterns of voting, etc., etc.
Just one last question for you. Universities, I mean, they have been pretty much a political battleground for student activists for pretty much as long as universities have existed. I'm sure we can all pretty much agree. As a teacher, have you noticed any changes in how students are engaging in politics, both inside and outside of the classroom?
Well, unfortunately, from my point of view, I think, if anything, the trend is towards disengagement. And I think that is not because students are not still passionate about politics or have very strongly felt political beliefs. I think it's because so many of our students now have to do paid work of 20 or 25 hours per week. So many of our students now don't come to campus and come to lectures, but listen to them online. And that's been encouraged and enabled by the university itself. And all of those things mitigate against student activism, which I think is a real cause for regret.
Because I've heard from a lot of my teachers how they definitely see that students are much more just disengaged with, you know, university politics. You know, you used to have like marches, protests, you know, but exactly. These days, like, you can't even get students out of bed to go to a lecture, let alone a protest.
Exactly. And I'd very much concur with that. I think that is unfortunately, that's the world we live in at university today.
Do you think it'll ever go back, or do you think it's always, we're just going to go further and further?
Well, you know, it depends. You know, should there be a sufficient volume of students who are sufficiently pissed off, I'm not sure if I should use that language on the radio, but the possibilities of future student organisation, you know, it's kind of there if students want to get collectively organised. So I think it's possible, but there are a lot of obstacles to it.
Well, it'll be, you know, interesting to see how it evolves in the future, won't it?
It will.
Well, that's all the time we've got for. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Dr. Cox.
You're most welcome, Nathaniel, and hopefully I can come back sometime.
Absolutely. Glad to have you back.
Okay.
Maybe next week. I'll book it in now.
Okay.